But storms may rain, winds may blow, cares of life come against my soul.
Start too. Is this okay, Brother Payne?
All right.
The storms may rage, the winds may blow, cares of life come against my soul. In troubled times, I know just where to stand. No safer place to be than in God's hands. In God's hands, I'm in good hands. My soul is safe and secure. In God's hands, sweet assurance. It's good to know I'm in God's hands. Solid rock, strong and firm. In God's hands, I'm in good hands. My soul is safe and secure. In God's hands, sweet assurance. It's good to know I'm in God's hands. In God's hands, I'm in good hands. It's good to know I'm in God's hands.
All right, what a wonderful song for us this evening. It is good to know I'm in God's hands. That is beautiful. I never heard that song before. I love that. That was good. Well, for anybody here that doesn't know me or my family, I am Marty Montgomery, and my family is here, obviously. There are a lot of new faces. Every time we come down, I'm so blessed to see new faces. That's a good thing. That means that the church is growing and reaching people. My wife is here as well. I shouldn't make you stand, but I'll just make you wave. You can wave at everybody. This is Heather, and she's been a wonderful wife to me through these 4.5 years we've been married. And it's just wonderful. Almost five, yeah. So it's been a blessing. We have Kate is in the nursery. She is a year and a half almost. And then we also have one due on May 1st, our anniversary. So that's a blessing. So we just found out it's a girl. So we'll have two girls running around. That'd be great. It's wonderful to be home. We've been looking forward to being here so much the last few weeks since we scheduled it. And sorry that we missed, a month or two ago, we were going to be here, and then something came up, but we've been looking forward to being here, and it's good to be home. And I just want to thank you all so very much for being our sending church. Sight unseen, you've been our sending church. We've been out, obviously you know who we are, I'm just kidding, but it's been a blessing to represent you as a church, and be able to say that we're from Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, means a lot to us. It has meant a lot to us. It's definitely helped us in getting meetings. Not everybody knows Pastor Angel or this church, but Any pastor that I've talked to that does know Pastor Angel has nothing but wonderful things to say about him. I have not, and that, not every pastor can say that, but every pastor I've talked to loves, admires, and respects our preacher, and that's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to drop his name, and I've been doing that a lot. So, but anyways, it's been good. So I just wanted to, and then thank you all so much, everybody. It has been a while. I've been gone in other churches, college, and then other churches, other church for, been gone 10 years now. So, but I just want to see. I see so many folks that have been such a blessing to me, influenced me in my life in so many ways, and I just want to thank you all. I hate to name names. I see many men that taught me in Sunday school. I'm just gonna, and I don't mean to leave anybody out, but Brother Gardner, Brother Griffin, Brother Payne, Brother Jeff. Actually, I was gonna pick on Brother Jeff a little bit. Brother Jeff, I think I had him in like 4 or 5 different classes. I remember having him in first and second. I think again fifth and sixth. Junior high, probably high school, and then college and career. I don't know who was following the other one around. I was gonna say that the brother Jeff that taught me back then had dark hair. I don't know. That was me. He was picking on my tie, saying he thought it was a Bears tie, so I was gonna get it back. So. But anyways, well, let me tell you a little bit about, I'll start with Heather because you don't know her. Not everybody here knows her all that well. And I wish you did. She's been a wonderful wife, a wonderful helpmeet to me. Just being willing to go and do what we're going, not only willing, but she's been excited. She pushes me when I need to be pushed. She reins me back when I need to be reined back. She's been wonderful. I hope y'all get to know her over time. But she grew up at Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin since she was 3, and she was saved at the age of 8. And then I met her at Providence Baptist College when I went up there. I was saved at the age of 4 in my grandparents' house in Moments, and I remember that day. I don't remember a lot of things from when I was 4, but I definitely remember that day. And then I was called to preach when I was 16. At football camp, I didn't actually surrender at football camp. I struggled with it for a little while, but I knew God was calling me, and about a month after that, I surrendered here. And then I went on to Providence Baptist College, which is where I met my wife. We started dating after I'd already graduated in 2008, and then we were married in 2010 when she graduated. Then we went to go join some different opportunities that came along, but the Lord led us to go help Pastor Jeremy Houston up in Crystal Lake, Illinois, and we kind of see now why it didn't make a lot of sense then, but it does now because of where he's led us since then. We've been helping. It's a church plant. I was actually helping him knock doors before they even started there, and then we met once a week for a little while, and I think that's where the Lord gave me a burden to go up there and help them. So they've been there about a year when we went up and join them, and it's just been a blessing. We've been able to experience, learn firsthand what a church plant is like, what starting a church is like, and you know, the ups and the downs and the different things that you learn working with young Christians, new Christians, and different things. It's been a huge blessing. Been able to be like, you know, the youth pastor, song leader, treasurer, all the different things that come along with that. It's been a huge blessing to us, and it's from there that the Lord has led us to Springfield. And I figured we'd show that video now first, Brother Tom, if you could, and then I'll tell you a little bit about more of our call to go to Springfield. You get that going, Brother Tom.
Springfield, the capital city of Illinois, land of Abraham Lincoln, a busy city in a rural setting with beauty, history, diversity, and religiosity. Springfield is home to 117,000 eternal souls that need the Savior and a good independent Baptist church as a lighthouse to shed the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the city and surrounding areas. Hi, we are the Montgomerys, Martin, Heather, and Kate. I grew up attending Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, and Heather was raised attending Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois. We met at Providence Baptist College and were married in the spring of 2010. Shortly after graduating, we went to Foundation Baptist Church in Lakin Hills, Illinois, where I served as the assistant to Pastor Jeremy Houston.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Houston, pastor of Foundation Baptist Church. It's been a great privilege to pastor as well as labor together with Marty and Heather Montgomery over the last 4 years. Many men set out to plant a church from a long-established work, sometimes with really very little understanding of what they're going to face while starting a church from scratch. But Brother Marty's been very wise in his preparation to plant a new church in Springfield by coming to be a part of our church plant. He's been involved in nearly every facet of church planting while he's been here. He knows that there are wonderful victories to be won, but those victories are always going to follow a battle. So he's going into church planting with his eyes wide open. He knows there's going to be hardships and heartache, but he's trusting in the captain of the Lord's host. And he knows that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I really hope that you'll pray for this good family and support them as they passionately go to reach this needy city with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
While we were at Foundation, the Lord started burdening our hearts for Springfield. We knew of the great need there. And even since we have surrendered to go, we have met so many pastors and people that have confirmed this need. We are very blessed to have so many people excited for us and praying for us in this endeavor. In the Bible, Luke 19:41, talking about Jesus entering Jerusalem, says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." I believe the Lord has chosen Springfield to be the Jerusalem for our family.
I can't think of a greater need that the state of Illinois has than new independent Baptist churches. Churches that are squared away with the Bible, have a good balance of soul-winning zeal and Bible preaching and teaching. There are cities all across the state that are in desperate need of a new church. Springfield is one such place. There are some good churches in Springfield, but Springfield's got a large population, and Springfield's in need of new churches. And that's where Marty and Heather come into play. God has put it upon their heart to plant a church, Capital Baptist Church, in Springfield. I believe with all of my heart this couple will be a worthy investment of your prayer time and your mission dollars. Both of these people were raised in godly homes and in good churches. They've been experienced in church planting, helping Pastor Jeremy Houston for the past several years. And I believe they're ready to go to a place like Springfield and see God work through them to plant a New Testament church. I trust that you'll pray for them for sure and consider supporting them financially, if at all possible. God bless you.
Please, please pray for us as we plant Capital Baptist Church in Springfield, Illinois. We need prayer and God's power more than anything else. We know the Lord has called us there, and we believe He's called us there to stay. We are very excited and humbled to go do this work. Please consider partnering with us together in prayer, financial support, and even labor if possible, as we start a God-centered, Bible-preaching, soul-conscious, independent Baptist church in Springfield. Thank you, and may God richly bless you and your church.
We went to Springfield for the first time about 3 years ago, and we went for a lot of what you saw in the video. We were both like history, my wife and I, and we both went down there to just to kind of take a weekend away and see the sights there. While we were there, the Lord, we really liked the city to begin with, and then we started thinking about just the lack of good churches there. Who is really reaching people down there in the Springfield area? We started praying that the Lord would send somebody. Send somebody to go start a church there, and you know what they say about be careful what you wish for. When you start praying for something like that, the Lord's going to give you a burden for it, and it just grew and grew, and then we came to realize that maybe the Lord was calling us to go, and so we started praying about that, and then back in April we took another trip, like a survey trip down there, if you will, and we just drove up and down the streets of the city and just prayed and just begged God to show us, to make it clear to us, and to make it for certain that that's where He wants us to go. And He did. He did. He confirmed that in our hearts that that's where He wants us to be. That's where He wants us to go, because there's souls there that need to be saved. Folks have said, or you know, mentioned, and it's okay that we're going down there to build a church. And we're not building a church. The Lord builds a church. The Bible says that He will build a church. We are going to preach the gospel. We are going to preach the gospel to every creature that we can. At doors, we're going to preach the gospel from the pulpit. We are going to try to reach as many souls as we can and let the Lord build a pray that the Lord will build a church. And our goal is just to evangelize the lost and edify believers. And watch what God does. And we're excited. We're really excited about the opportunity to go there. I wanted to make sure that I tell you everything that I want to about Springfield. 117,000 people there. There's about 135,000 in the area. There's two independent Baptist churches there. One is looking for a pastor. They're kind of struggling. The other one, they're over on the east side of town. And about a mile out of town. But there's that many people. And there's 143 churches, 143 churches of all denominations in Springfield. Two of them are independent Baptist, and we believe the Lord's. And honestly, I believe there could be five or six good churches there. It'd be wonderful. It's actually very comparable to this whole area. If you were to take Bradley, Bourbonnais, Kankakee, it's actually very comparable down there. So we plan to start on the northwest side of the city. We're excited about that. We have set goals. I was talking to Brother Netterville about this. We have a goal to knock. We want to knock 30,000 doors in the 5 weeks leading up to September 20th, 2015 is when we plan to start. And I know that's a huge goal. I mentioned that to Brother Netterville, and he laughed and he said, "Well, at least you got a goal, brother. That's good." But you know, I guess if you have no vision or whatnot, but we'd love to be able to do that. The exciting thing with that is that we currently have 18 churches. We currently have 18 churches that have told us that they would help us in knocking doors. So they range from 15 miles away to one that's 370 miles away. They said they'd be there to knock doors with us, and we're excited. We're excited that we're going to have some help to get it started, get it done. And we've also been given things for the church already, and that's exciting. We ask you to pray that the Lord would continue to give us all the things that we need for the actual building. We've been given, we have chairs, we have church chairs, we have a piano. We need a piano player, so pray for that. I don't play, and my wife, she dabbles, and she might learn a little more as we go, but we've been given congregational and special music soundtracks. We were just recently given 100 hymnals. We've been given children's Sunday school material. We've been given church finance software. Lord's been good. Lord's been good giving us a lot. And honestly, the Lord's given us several meetings, quite a few meetings in this next coming year. And we're hoping to, we also have a goal to be in 100 churches by September. So I believe this would be the 14th or 15th we've been in, and we're hoping that the Lord would fill up our calendar in this next year. So pray for us in that regard. Pray that we reach the support that we need. We would really love to not only go there as close to fully supported or close there to, and be able to just not, you know, and be able to go right into being supported by the church eventually too. We'd love that. So we're asking you to pray, if you would, that we're able to gain the support that we need. And I thought I'd mention this too. We've already met several people that live in Springfield that leave Springfield and drive to other cities to go to church. There's some that go to a church about 30 minutes away. Some that go to church about 45 minutes away. Brother Robert, I'm looking for Jessica. Brother Robertson's church. We met a man at Brother Tebow's church in Peoria. Who lives just north, about 10 minutes north of Springfield. And he drives over an hour to go to church there in Peoria. And he told me, he said, "Brother Marty, I've been praying for 27 years that the Lord would send somebody to start a church on our side of Springfield." I'm 28, so that's since I was 1 year old. And that was one of those blessings. Heather and I got in the car and we're just like, whoa. Shudder to think that we'd be the answer to that man's prayer, but that's how desperate the need is there for a church, and we're just excited, and we love to see, like that song was saying, being in God's hands, and the things as we're stepping out on faith, that the Lord just given us little things to verify that yes, this is what we've called you to do, this is what I want you to do. And he's going to prepare the way for us. I will misspeak a lot tonight. You guys, just give me a break if you would. I'm quite nervous, but let's go ahead and get in the message tonight. All right, let's do it. Philippians chapter number 2, if you would, in your Bible. Very familiar passage we'll be looking at. Pastor mentioned last time I preached here was 12 years ago when I was 16. It was for a pilot's convention. I believe I preached about 4 minutes. Now, I've preached several times since then, so I should be good for at least 5 or 6 tonight. So, actually, I'm not a very long-winded preacher, and I don't have a whole lot of time to get. But we'll. I'm usually about 20, 25, 30-minute preacher. Normally, in that range, I usually feel like I don't have much else to say after that. Pastor Houston. He'll go a little longer, especially on Sunday mornings. He'll go 40, 45 minutes, and he's a good. By the way, he's a good, solid Bible preacher. It's been a blessing to sit under his preaching. I've learned he quotes about as much Bible verses and Bible. It's a good Bible preacher. But yeah, he goes about 40, 45 minutes. I was going to tell you the last time I filled in for him on a Sunday. He was out of town or whatever, and I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I preached Sunday morning. I preached 32 minutes, and then Sunday morning, I guess I preached exactly 32 minutes again. The sound man came and told me that. He said, "You realize you preached 32 minutes this morning, 32 minutes just now." I was like, "Oh, really? Ah, okay. I guess I'm consistent." And he said, "He's like, well, if you keep that up, when Pastor Jeremy gets back, we'll send him to Springfield and keep you." So I thought that was funny. It made me laugh. But anyways, it's a joy to be with you tonight. And I just got a simple message for you tonight. Why? Because that's the best type of message I preach, and it's the only type Heather writes for me. So let's stand. Philippians chapter number 2. And for time's sake, we'll start at verse number 9. We'll look at the few other verses. We'll go back. Verse number 9, Philippians 2, 9. Just follow along and I'll read. The Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," talking about Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things of heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The title of my message would be drawn from verse number 10, "At the name of Jesus." What should we do? Simple two steps in the Bible, what we should do at the name of Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I need you tonight. Please clarify my thoughts, Lord. I pray that you would help it to come out of my mouth clearly as well, Lord. I pray that you would please bless the hearer tonight, Lord. I pray that this message that you have for us tonight, that we could take it, that we could apply it to our lives, Lord. Thank you for those that are here, God. I pray that they would receive a blessing from being here in your house tonight. And we pray that all this in your name, amen. And you can be seated. Thank you. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's how I've always, to be honest with you, that's how I've looked at this passage just about every time I've read it. I've always thought of it as a futuristic, and in futuristic terms. I've always thought, pictured, and of course everybody reads the Bible differently, but I've always pictured us being in some big area, maybe it's at the Great White Throne Judgment, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day, I believe, is coming. That day is coming one day, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord at the name of Jesus. But I thought about it the last time I was reading it. Well, what about today? These verses don't even talk about it in a futuristic sense. I believe it's talking about today. This is what the Lord wants us to do right now, today, in our lives today. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and under things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, we do this at salvation. I hope everybody, most everybody here has trusted the Lord as your Savior. If you haven't, I'm here to tell you that the Christmas story is about one who came. And as we heard such a fantastic message this morning, who came for to die for sinners. And He came to die for you and He came to die for me. And if you will bow your knee and confess Him as Lord, He will come into your heart, save your soul, take away your sins, and take you to heaven. And if you haven't done that tonight, please don't leave the room lost. But if you're saved tonight, I believe this message applies to us as well. I believe that we should be in a constant state that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And those are my two simple points, and we'll look at some things under them. But what should we do at the name of Jesus? What should we do at the name of Jesus? First of all, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Why should we do this? Verse number 9, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. His name is above every name. Above His name, there is no other name, the one who is eternally the same. There is no other name. And it's sad today. It's sad when I go places and I hear His name cursed above all names. And that angers me. That frustrates me. I don't hear people take Allah's name in vain, or Muhammad's name in vain, or Buddha's name in vain. They take my Lord's name in vain. And that angers me, because His name is above every name. Who has exalted Him? God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. And every knee should bow at His name. Bowing is an outward display of inward humility. Bowing is an outward display of inward humility. And I believe we should bow to Him in our hearts. I realize not everybody's physically capable, but there is a point in time when we should bow our knee to Him as well. If we can't bow our knee, if we can't do a simple thing like bowing the knee to Him, is He really our Lord? Is He really our Savior? Every knee should bow to Him. I believe every knee should bow to the Lord in wonder. I believe every knee should bow to Him in wonder. Look at what, because of what He has done for us, every knee should bow to Him in wonder. You know, many times when the Lord would appear, or even just His angel in the Bible, people would fall down either on their knees or flat on their face. I think about in Revelation when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard the Lord behind him, and he turned and he fell flat on his face. And folks, if we truly are standing in the presence of Almighty God, we will bow the knee to Him in wonder. In wonder at who He is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. Again, as we heard this morning, what He has done for us, we should bow to Him in wonder. Look at what He here. Look at me with me in verse number 5, and we'll look at a little bit of what He has done for us. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He is God. He is existing from everlasting to everlasting, eternity past and eternity now and present and eternity future. Verse number 7, "But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." Started thinking about Christmas time when I started thinking about this. We celebrate His birth when He became a man, and He became a man for us. And I'm glad we celebrate Christmas. The world can do what they want to with it. They can materialize it if they want and make it about presents and Santa and all that. I'm glad we still celebrate Christmas. Why? Because it reminds us. It's a reminder. It's a remembrance of His coming to earth for us. Sadly, we forget. We forget about the wonder of what He did. We so easily forget. That's why He said with the Lord's Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance. Why? Because He knew at times we would forget. We would forget what He's done for us. Verse number 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death." Something He did not have to become obedient unto at all. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. But He knew no sin. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The death of the cross, folks. That's what He did for us. And to me, I don't know that there's a more horrible death that you could endure. And He did that. Why? Hebrews tells us for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And we're that joy. We're that joy. What a wonderful thing that His very creation is the joy that He would come and die for. And we forget about the wonder, and we no longer bow at the wonderful things that He has done. Sometimes we sadly forget. Have you lost the wonder of your so great salvation? Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be saved? Is it a wonderful thing to be a child of God? Don't lose the wonder. Don't forget to kneel at Him and wonder of what He has done for us. What He's done for me and what He's done for you. We should also bow and wonder at what He's still doing. At what He's still doing. It was exciting to me to be in church on a Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. And there was four baptized this morning. One of them just been saved in jail. What a remarkable thing. What an exciting thing. God is still in the miracle working business. God is still changing lives. That is why we're here. That's why we're going to Springfield. Because God is still working wonders in our midst. One of the most exciting churches we were at, I get excited thinking about it, was we were the very first missionary for a church 6 months old in Lawrenceville, Illinois. Lawrenceville, it's about 4.5 hours, kind of directly south of here, actually. If you take Route 1, you'll go, keep going and keep going and keep going, you'll come to Lawrenceville, Illinois. A little town of 4,400 people. And we were at the very first Independent Baptist Church ever in Lawrenceville, Illinois, started by a 28-year-old man just like myself that 5 years ago walked into a Baptist church for the first time. And he hated God. He was a rebel, but he went with his girlfriend and he kept coming. And then he got saved. And then he got baptized. And then they got married. And then he started working in bus routes and teaching a Sunday school class. And then he got called to preach. And then the Lord called him to start a church there. And they went there with practically nothing. They started praying that God would give them a building, and He did. He did. They have they're meeting in the fellowship hall of a church that had burnt down. And the owners leased it to them for $1 a year for 5 years. Lord literally gave them a building. We were able to be there with them. There's a good 20, 25 folks gathered there on a Sunday night. And it was just exciting to be there. And just to see what God is doing. That man 5 years ago was lost. And now there's an Independent Baptist church where there's never been one. God is still working miracles. We should bow the knee at what He is doing. We should bow to Him in worship. First, we should bow to Him in wonder. Secondly, we should bow to Him in worship, to worship Him. Excuse me, my mouth gets very dry. Bow to Him in worship. I sense today, sometimes in some churches, that the definition of the word worship, it's changing a little bit. You'll go to some churches that have a worship team or a worship leader, and it's kind of become more defined as praise and song than what it truly is defined. And this is just part of what Webster defined it as. The word worship means to adore, to reverence with extreme respect, to honor with extravagant love as a husband does his wife. That is what worship is. To adore, to in essence live for, to give your life for, to want to spend every moment that you can. Think about now, guys, you women probably are maybe a little better at staying in the love and the adoration part of relationships. I'm not sure why, but men especially think back. I'm sorry, I guess I just threw all those guys under the bus. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me. maybe it's just me, but think back to, especially when you first started, you know, courting and you first started dating and you really just, you're getting to know this person and then you really want to spend every moment that you can with them just because, why? Because you just, you want to be with them and you want to, and then you marry. And I was just talking to brother Keith back here about to get married. That's exciting. Then you get married, and then there's that excitement of being together and getting to spend every moment together. And that's what I think it's great that's what Webster uses as an example. That's that desire to just to adore, to please, to love, to spend as much time with that person as possible. And see, because worship, it's not just an hour or two on Sunday and then we forget about it until we go back again. I just as a corny illustration, how would my wife feel if I came to her and I was like, you know, Heather, I love you. Pray and ask her for all the things that I'd like her to do for me. And then, you know, maybe sing a, oh, Heather, you're an awesome wife. You cook and clean for me. Something like that. A little ditty like that. And then, oh, my time's up. My hour's up. I'll see you in a week. How would she feel about that? That's what worship, I think, sadly, is becoming to us sometimes. Do we really adore Him? Do we really reverence Him with extreme respect? He is God and He is Lord. Do we really reverence Him? Do we really honor Him with extravagant love as a husband would his wife or vice versa? That's what worship is. It's not praise and worship is not praise and song. Worship leads to praise and song. Worship because I love Him and I adore Him, I can't help but sing. I can't help but praise His name. That's what worship is. Sadly, I believe we become more of a self-love or self-worshipping society. I believe that's what we're turning into. And the Bible says that would happen. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, lovers of their own selves. I heard recently that this generation, it's actually starting to be called, or some people are calling it, the selfie generation. I don't know if anybody's heard that. Because so many people are spending so much time taking selfies of themselves. The selfie everywhere, selfie where we go. It's the younger people in the audience, you know, more of what I talk about. And I was thinking about this. I like studying World War II. Does anybody here enjoy studying World War II a little bit? Okay. And you think about that. They were called, they're often referred to as the greatest generation. Anybody heard that? The greatest generation. Why? Because of what they did. Because that they would charge. They stormed the beaches of Normandy when they were being shot and gunfire at them. They dropped in. The paratroopers, and what they did to ensure that we have freedom today, that we can meet and preach as we can today. And I was just thinking about that. How sad it is that in 70 years. We've gone from the greatest generation of folks that sacrificed their lives for freedom, and then I get to be part of the generation that's best known for our ability to take pictures of ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? And I don't know whether to laugh or to cry at that. That's just sad. But we've become worshiping ourselves. We just love ourselves, lovers of selves rather than lovers of God. And sometimes it's wrapped up in the things that we love, which makes me think of 1 John 2:15, I believe, that says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And then you look at when you fast forward the Church of the Nicol. This sounds funny. Oh, it's because that. Okay, Laodicea. Church of Laodicea, where they had become rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you think of all the things and all the goods that we have, and we could stand and testify on the goods and the things that we received for Christmas a few days ago. Most everybody probably got some kind of good or some kind of thing. I got several wonderful goods and things. But we begin to... there's nothing wrong with those in and of themselves, but the verse says it's when we love those things. It's when we love those things, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I thought of this illustration for you. And again, that sounds funny. I'm going to have to... I've just got to get used to being up here. Brother Greg. I believe, actually, the first time that I preached, when I was 16, I didn't even turn this on. So I was just... I didn't even... Anyways, I just thought about that. I just thought of that. Where was I going? There was a... Oh, yes. Okay. Most anybody that knows me knows I like football. I love football. I love to watch football, play football. So a few years back, I got, anybody that knows football, there's the thing called the NFL Sunday Ticket, where you can watch, it's DirecTV, and you can watch any game you want on Sunday. And because I wanted to be able to watch as much football as I could. And really, that was all we used it to. I watched a lot of football. But it began to be a problem when I would be in a hurry to leave church on Sunday so I could go and catch my NFL Sunday ticket. That's time that you spend fellowshipping, you know, especially visitors and stuff. You want to, you know, make sure. And I was in a hurry to leave to get out of church so I can catch my football. You ladies, you have something wonderful. It's called the Holy Spirit that lets you know when you're doing things you shouldn't. Us men, we have the Holy Spirit and our wives. My wonderful wife was sweet enough to point out. She pointed out to me. I wasn't even realizing it. I was not even realizing that I was becoming like that. And we ended up just getting rid of it. And now we have all we have is the digital thing that picks up 6 local channels, and 3 of them are in Spanish. But amen. So I'm learning. I'm becoming bilingual. So if I get to go down to Puerto Rico for a missions trip sometime, I'll be able to. But anyways, the problem is there anything wrong with football? In and of itself, no. But the problem became when I loved football more than I loved the things of God. And that's what it comes down to, folks. It's okay to enjoy the things of the world or to have fun with them. But when they interfere with the things of God, that's when it becomes a problem. I have another illustration, and I think this is going to anger some of you, but just going to do it anyways. Let's just be honest. How easy is it to go a day without reading the Bible? Yet, how easy is it to go a day without this? How easy is it to go a day without this? I'm going to try that over here. How easy is it to go a day without the Bible? I'm saying us. How easy is it for us to go a day without the Bible? But try a day with, and maybe this is for more for my generation too, but let's just get real honest, folks. What do we love? Do we love the Lord? Do we love the things of God? Or do we love, what's wrong with this? Is there anything in and of itself wrong with this? No, but when I love this, when it's more important to me, when I can't leave without this, but I can leave without this, that's when it becomes a problem. Who do we worship? Do we bow our knee to Him in worship? Thirdly, do we bow to Him in will? Do we bow to Him in will? And this is only the first half. I'm going to hurry up here, all right? Do we bow to Him in will? Do we bow to His will? Are we willing to do what He wants us to do? I think about medieval knight, or like back in the days of knights and kings and stuff. They would come before their king, and they would bow, and they would bow the knee, and sometimes they'd be knighted, or sometimes they were just accepting orders. And whatever that king told them to do, whether it was attack these people or to go whatever it may be, they would do it. Why? Because they were kneeling and to that king's will. His orders were that knight's command, and that's how we should kneel before God as well. He is God. He is Lord. The Lord God has exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. We should bow to whatever it is that He wants us to do, whatever it is that He is asking us to do. And I think this is a great time to think about this as we're going into 2015. What is it that the Lord wants you to do this next year that maybe you didn't do this year, or maybe you've been neglecting to do this year, whatever it may be. The will of God, except for specific things and places and where to go, it's really not as complicated as we make it out to be sometimes. Most of everything God wants us to do, except for specific places and situations, we can find in this book. Or sometimes He just simply speaks it to us. Sometimes we can all can think of a time where maybe We know we should have witnessed to somebody. Maybe it's somebody at the grocery store. Maybe it's a family member over the holidays or whatever the case may be. And the Lord's telling us to do things, and sometimes we just sadly we neglect or we ignore what God wants us to do, and we shouldn't do that. We should be willing to do whatever it is that He asks us to do. I think a lot of times, you can tell your arguing with God's will when you find yourself arguing with yourself. That's not always yourself that you're arguing with. It may actually be the Holy Spirit that's telling you, "Hey, I want you to drop a little extra on the plate." Hey, see that guy? Go, give that guy a track. Go invite that guy to church. And we have our reasons. Oh, they're not interested. They don't have a smile on their face. Whatever the case may be, we come up with reasons. But who are we really arguing with? Is it ourselves, or is it the Lord and what He wants us to do and what He's telling us to do? It's been a wonderful thing when the Lord, and that's why we wanted to make sure that it was God telling us to go to Springfield. And we needed confirmation on that. It's been a wonderful thing. And let me tell you, maybe young people, the most wonderful place to be is in the will of God. It may not always seem the easiest. It may be daunting and scaring at times, just like the last few minutes before I was getting up here to preach before you or present. But there's no more wonderful place to be. There is no more exciting place to be, and I hope you're there. And I hope you're doing what the Lord's wanting you to do. And if you're not, get back in the will of God. Get back right with Him. Get back doing what He asked you to do. And then just be willing to do whatever it is that He wants you to do along the way. One of those that I was thinking about as I put together the message. When I'm talking to preachers about coming and presenting our work, they let me know what they want me to do in the service. Lots of times they'll ask me if me or my wife sings, if we sing, and my answer for him is I can sing, I'm willing to sing, but I don't recommend it. That's how I put it. All right, I'm willing to, but I don't recommend it, and that's the truth. I'm willing to if they really want me to, but I just don't recommend it. Why? Because I can't sing. Montgomery's can't sing. Anybody who normally sits in this section, Brother Larry, can you testify for Montgomery? We just can't sing. We're not gifted singers. But I decided I was just going to go ahead and be willing to do that. The first church, and I've actually sang four different times now on deputation. Yes, singing solos. Yes. As crazy as that is, the first one was that they actually took us on for support, but they I know, which is another miracle. See, I told you, God is in the wonder working business. He's still working miracles. But we were sitting around after the first service eating, and we were listening to a group's practice for the next song, to sing the next night, and there was just, they would get to these certain notes and they were just off. And I don't know music. I can't read it, but I can tell you they were off. And I would look at the pastor every time and he just looked at me and grimaced. And he knew me from college. And so he said, he's like, "Brother, are you sure you can't sing? Can you sing for us?" And so I did. And I guess it was a blessing. Nobody told me it was horrible. And I've been able to sing since, but it's not something that I would recommend, but if you're just willing to do, I'm not suggesting that everybody come join the choir next week, but you know what? Maybe that's something that maybe you could do. Maybe that's something that the Lord's been prodding on you to do. Just to be willing to try it. Be willing to step out. Maybe it's a Sunday school class. Maybe it's just to help. Maybe it's just to be willing to be a helper. Maybe even to be a teacher or to jump in on a bus route. Do something. Work in the nursery. Whatever it is. Be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Be willing. Bow to Him. Bow to His will. Be willing to do whatever it is that He asks you to do. Second point. Second main point. Second thing that we should do, let's look back at verse number 10. Philippians 2, verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what our tongue should be doing. Our knee should be bowed to Him. Our knee should be bowing. And our tongue should be confessing that He is Lord. Every tongue should confess that He is Lord. What is a confession? What is confessing? It is stating or admitting the truth about something. It is stating or admitting the truth about something. In this case, we are stating or admitting the truth. Jesus Christ, is Lord. Who should we confess it to? And I'll close. Confess it to God. Confess to God that He is Lord. Be honest to God. And obviously we do that for salvation, but on a day-to-day basis. Be honest to God about who He is and what we really are in our sight, in His sight. Pride is such a it's such a horrible thing, and it creeps up on us unawares. And sometimes it's just a matter of us forgetting to acknowledge to the Lord, acknowledge to God who He is and who we are in His sight. He is Lord. And maybe it's just a simple thing of sometime in prayer, or maybe even every day in prayer, just God, thank You for being God. Thank You for being such a good God. Thank You for being a wonderful God. I bow before You. I am nothing without You, God. Use me. Bless me today. We should... acknowledging to God our failures is a huge step in humility. Acknowledging them to God. James 4:6 says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Don't be proud before God. The Bible says that's such a strong statement when you think about it. God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. I do not want to be resisted by God. But then on the other hand, He giveth grace unto the humble. I don't know about you tonight. I want the grace of God. I want the grace of God in my life. I need the grace of God in my life. And I don't want to be proud. I want to be humble and admit to Him who He is. Lord, Your God. All that He has done for us, and just thank Him for everything that He has done for us. Thank Him for being God in your life. Thank Him for that you can have faith and confidence in Him. That even when you're going through tough times, and I keep going back to that song, but it was beautiful. I've never heard it before, but being sheltered in His hands and when you're going through a tough time, and when things don't look so good, and we all come to a place in our lives where it just seems like we're just being attacked by the devil or whatever it, whatever the case may be. We can rest in Him, and we in confidence that He is God, and that Romans 8:28 is true, and that He will work all things together for good to those who love Him, those who are called to His purpose. Thank Him for being God. And then lastly, confess Him to others. Confess Him to others. Boy, this is the biggest. Not the biggest, but this is so important. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to everybody that we can, to every person that we can. We must tell others who He is before they have to stand before Him one day. Remember at the beginning of the message, we talked about that one day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Shame on us if we are not confessing Him today. Confessing Him to others today before we have to stand before Him and kneel before Him in that day. God has exalted the name of Jesus, and we must exalt the name of Jesus to everybody, to everyone that we can. And folks, that's why we're going to Springfield. We're going there to preach the name of Jesus. We're there to preach the Word. We're going there to preach Christ and Him crucified. Whether it's folks that we meet at their door or on the street or at Walmart or from the pulpit, we are going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're not going there to preach any new dogma or any silly stuff. Only preach Christ and Him crucified. That's where we're going. Confessing that He is Lord, because there are so many lost people, so many people that need the gospel. And there's people that need the Lord all around us here. And I'm so thankful that there is this lighthouse in this area that folks can go to. If this church wasn't here for you to attend, where would you go? Where what choices do you have? What options do you have? Just like those people in Springfield that drive 20, 30, 45 minutes, an hour to go to church. And I'm so excited that the Lord's called us to start a church and watch and see what the Lord does to build it. But the only way it's going to be built is by soul winning, is by door-to-door soul winning, by door knocking, inviting folks to church, telling them about the Lord, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. I don't know how many of we had our heads bowed and eyes closed when we raised our hands this morning to say we wanted to talk to somebody, share the gospel with somebody, at least one person in 2015. I hope that's everybody here's goal. We need to confess Him because He's coming back one day. This day is coming. This day is coming. Oh, folks, we need to confess Him to others. In conclusion tonight, what are you doing at the name of Jesus? What are you doing at the name of Jesus? The Bible says our knee should be bowed in wonder, in worship, in will, and our tongue should be confessing Him, especially to Him and as well as to others. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Lord God, bless the message even now. God, I pray that You would encourage us, stir our hearts, Lord God. Whatever it is that You dealt with us tonight, may we respond to You as You have spoken to us. In Your name, amen. Thank you for your kind attention, everyone.
Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That was a fantastic message. Simple, but so profound. And don't miss those two words that are repeated in that passage, every. When God says every, He means every. Every tongue. Every knee. Our knee should be bowed in wonder, worship, and will. Our tongue should be confessing to God and others that Christ is Lord. Simple but profound message as we look to a new year. I wonder tonight if there's anybody in the building that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't want to have to be made to confess that Jesus is Lord at the judgment someday. And I'm not saved. And I need to take care of that now. Is anybody like that in the building tonight? Would you slip your hand up? I'm not saved. I've never confessed that now. Anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I was touched by something that was said from Brother Marty. That point on the knee should bow. In wonder and worship and will. That point about the tongue confessing. But something that was said tonight. One sentence or a paragraph or two paragraphs, doesn't matter. The Spirit of God grabbed it and put it in my heart to think on. Spoke to me about it tonight in the message. Would you slip your hand up, please, all over the room? I see that. That's a blessing. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. It's time to come. Tremendous message tonight from God's Word. Tremendous.